We're in Psalm 119. I'm not going to read the whole psalm this week. I'll read one verse, Psalm 119:20, but it would be helpful for you to have your Bibles open to the psalm because I'll be referring to numerous scriptures from Psalm 119 throughout the sermon. Psalm 119, verse 20. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. Father, we again come to you and ask that you would cause this to happen in our hearts. We cannot fake being consumed with longing. Father, you know what our hearts long for. You know what captivates our hearts and minds, what we think about most often. Lord, you know our greatest desires, and we know, if we're honest, we can't make ourselves desire things. We can't just turn it on like a light switch. We need you to come in us and supernaturally, by your Spirit, cause us to be consumed with longing for your Word. And this passage says, at all times, at all times. And Father, we confess that often we are cold and dead towards you and your Word and your truth. And so, Father, we beg you to come among us today and grant us to be consumed with longing for your Word all the time. And Father, we pray that we would not only be doers, not only hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. Lord, we pray that you would transform our lives through the preaching of the Word and through the reading of the Word. And so, God, help us to take this seriously. Help us to hear from you. Lord, we ask that you would work in our hearts and lives and change us, God. For Jesus' sake, amen. As I said last week, the point of this sermon is to convince your mind and excite your heart about the truthfulness and the beauty and the power and the sufficiency of God's Word so that your will might be moved and encouraged to pursue God and His Word during 2021 like you've never pursued Him before. And if you've not been pursuing God and His Word as you should, then another point of this part two sermon is to tan your hide, to convict of sin. These are the four things that S.M. Lockridge said every sermon ought to do: instruct your mind and excite your heart and move your will to action and tan your hide, convict of sin, so that you might repent and begin to pursue God in His Word as you should. And last week we got to read through this amazing psalm, Psalm 119, and we saw there are various ways that God describes His Word, different aspects of His Word, His statutes, His commandments, His rules, His laws, His testimonies, His promises, His precepts, His ways, His decrees, His ordinances. And we heard from Ligon Duncan, who told us that this psalm shows us both why we should value God's Word and how we should value God's Word. And I began last week by pointing out that we are unable to delight in God and His Word as we should apart from the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, apart from being born again, apart from having a new heart, that God and His Word and church and Christian religion will be boring if we are not born again. That you won't understand how the psalmist speaks of God's Word if you are not born again. The Word of God, the laws of God, the ordinances of God will be a burden to you if you are not born again, because you're dead spiritually and you hate what God loves and you love what God hates naturally. That's how we're born. Naturally, we hate what God loves And we love sin. We love what God hates. And so we have to be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And we looked at two Old Testament passages that describe being born again. Ezekiel 36, God says, I will take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh and put my spirit in you to cause you to walk in my commandments. Jeremiah 31, 33, that God would write his law upon our hearts. We need that to be able to understand the joy and delight that the psalmist has in God's word. And we looked at the first four of these points from Psalm 119. I have 36 points, brief points. But we looked at the first four last week. Number one, believers are holy, blameless, and blessed to the degree that they obey God's word. Number two, believers desire to obey God's word. Number three, the desire believers have for God and for His word cannot be separated. And number four, believers desire and delight in God's word. And that brings us to point five today, where we begin. Believers tell others God's word. Believers tell others God's word. Psalm 119, 13. The psalmist says, with my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. So true, genuine believers are not quiet about God and His word. They speak to others about God and His word. John Calvin wrote about this verse. In this verse, he declares that the law of God was not only deeply engraven on his own heart, but that it was his earnest and strenuous endeavor to gain over many of his fellow disciples into subjection to God. We are about speaking God's word to others. We want to see other people come to submit to God and know God and live for God and trust in God and be saved by God and live for His glory. Because we love God and we know He deserves all glory and honor and worship, and we love sinners and we want them to be saved. And so we do evangelism, declaring the gospel to lost sinners. That's what believers do. We also speak God's word to disciple other believers, to help other believers grow in Christ, helping Christians grow in the knowledge of God and in holiness and in Christ-likeness. This is the desire of every true believer. We want to share the gospel and see sinners saved, and we want to look out in our church, especially our church, and look at the other members and say, I want you to grow in Christ. How can I spend my time to help you grow in Jesus? Parents, believers speak God's word to their children. Parents, are you consciously making it a priority to speak God's word to your children, to teach them the gospel, to teach your children the Bible, to gather them around the Bible regularly, maybe even every day, every night, and teaching them the Bible? Parents with young children, are you using the catechism? We have these children's catechisms. Who made you? God made me. What else did God make? God made all things. Why did God make you in all things? For His own glory. And teaching them the doctrines of the truth and teaching them to memorize Scripture. Are you doing that, parents? Please love your child's souls enough. Want your child's soul not to go to hell enough. And want them to go to heaven enough to be diligent to train them in the Scriptures and teach them God's word. Believers tell others God's word. Six, believers focus on God's word in times of trouble. Believers focus on God's word in times of trouble. Look at verse 95. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. Where does the psalmist's mind go when people, wicked people, are lying in wait to destroy him? It goes to God's word. God's word. When we're struggling, when we have trials and tribulations, believers consider God's testimonies. They consider God's word. I shared with you in a few sermons ago on the Word of God, Isaiah 40, how God has used that in my life when I've been afraid and fearful of some kind of circumstance. He's taken me to Isaiah 40 to remind me that God is King. Maybe some of you need to hear that this week. God is King. God is in control. America is nothing to God. America is nothing to God. America is a drop in the bucket to God. America could fall away and be forgotten. God stands. Why do I say America is nothing to God? You might say, Pastor, that sounds harsh. I'm just quoting Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verses 15 through 18 and 21 through 23. Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket and are accounted as dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. All the nations are as nothing before our God. They are accounted by him as less than nothing. Oh, I was wrong. They're less than nothing. An emptiness. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness compare with him? Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Our God reigns. This passage encourages me not to fear whatever I'm facing, whatever hardship, whatever might come in the future. My God reigns. Our God reigns. Believers focus on God's word in times of trouble. 7, believers are certain of the absolute perfection and eternal nature of God's word. Believers are absolutely certain of the absolute perfection and eternal nature of God's word. Psalm 119:96. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. He's seen a limit to all perfection, but not with God's word. There's no limits to the perfection of God's holy, inerrant, perfect, infallible, God-breathed, inspired word. One commentator, John Collins, writes about this verse: the Lord's broad commandment has no limit to its perfection because it partakes of God's own limitless perfection. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Reminds me of what Jesus said about his own words in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Friend, this is central to what it means to be a Christian, a true believer. True believers don't doubt God's word. True believers don't doubt any syllable, any jot, any tittle, any grammar, anything in God's word. They take it all and say, yes, amen, perfect, infallible, and whatever it says, God, I'm going to do. Whatever it delights in, I delight in. Whatever it hates, I hate. Whatever it says, I submit to. That is the position of the true believer. And yet, what is Satan's first temptation? Has God really said? Oh, friend, be aware of that. Satan does not want you to trust God's word. Satan wants you to doubt God's word. That was his first temptation. Has God really said? And we gather here once a week to say, yes, he has. Get behind me, Satan. Yes, he has. Every word is perfect. There is a limit to all perfection, but not in God's word. Because it reflects God, and God is perfect. 8, believers get life from God's word. Verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. Spurgeon said this expresses the spiritual change by which a child of Adam becomes a child of God. God uses his word to cause us to be born again. This is how sinners are saved. This is why, parents, I can't commend you enough, the memorization of God's Word. Having your children memorize God's Word. We have these little CDs that play God's Word to song to make it more memorable. Fill your children with the Word of God. Have them memorize the Word of God. It's through the Word of God that God breathes life into sinners. Use God's Word in your evangelism. Even if somebody says, well, I don't believe God's Word. Well, let me just tell it to you. Can you just listen? Can I say this and listen? Because God uses His Word to make people come alive. My seminary professor once told the story about a shotgun. And he said, when a robber breaks into your house and you have a shotgun, you don't have to explain to the robber how deadly the shotgun is. You just shoot it. It sort of proves itself. It's the same way with the Word of God. You don't need to defend the Word of God. Spurgeon said, defend the Word of God, I'd rather defend the lion. You just need to use it. Just pull it out and use it. Bam! John 3:16. And watch God convert sinners. 1 Peter 1:23, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Believers get life from God's Word. 9, believers get strength from God's Word. Believers get strength from God through God's Word. Psalm 119:28, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your Word. Do you need strength? Do you feel weak? Do you feel helpless? Go and get strength by studying, meditating, reading, memorizing the Word of God. 10, believers avoid false teaching by knowing God's Word. Believers avoid false teaching by knowing God's Word. Psalm 119:29, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. There's so many false teachers out there. So many on the internet, so many on TV. They quote God's Word just like Satan, and they lead millions of people to hell. Beloved, know God's Word. Know God's Word. Study God's Word. Understand the totality of God's Word. Not just books here, books there, verses here, verses there, but the whole of God's Word and how it fits together logically and soundly. Know God's Word. That's one of the reasons I encourage people to read the whole Bible. Some Muslims have the whole Quran memorized. Know God's Word that you might put false ways far from you and know the truth. 11, God enables believers to understand and obey His Word. God enables believers to understand and obey God's Word. Verses 33 through 36, you see the psalmist pray to the Lord, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. God is the one who gives us understanding. We can listen to a sermon, we can read the Bible, we can hear, memorize the Bible, and yet unless God acts, we're not going to get it. And so we have to pray, Lord, open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things from your law. Incline my heart to your law. Help me understand your word. Give me understanding. We have to go before the Lord in prayer and beg him to help us understand his word by his spirit. 12, believers trust in God's word. Believers trust in God's word. Verses 41 through 43, let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord. Your salvation according to your promise, then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. We trust in God and his word. We don't trust in money. We don't trust in presidents. We don't trust in nations. Believers trust in God and His Word. 13, believers obey God's Word from the heart. Believers obey God from the heart, they persevere, and they endure with the help of God's word. Verse 112, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Verse 44, I will always obey your law forever and ever. The psalmist says, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever. This is not just going through the motions outwardly, doing what God says, but from the heart. This was one of the problems of the Pharisees. They did things outwardly that conformed outwardly to God's word, but the heart was far from God. The psalmist says, I incline my heart to perform your statutes. So this is heart religion, knowing God, having a personal relationship with God, and obeying from the heart because you delight in Him and His truth. And notice, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Believers persevere in this. True believers keep following the Lord Jesus Christ. They keep following God. They keep obeying God's word. I always obey your law forever and ever, the psalmist says. I mean, so many times we see people turn away from God. Even pastors, you're seeing pastors, the big shot pastors with the books and on the TV, and large churches fall away and turn away. True believers don't do that. I've had friends of mine who are now not walking with the Lord anymore. Beloved, don't let it be said of you. True believers keep following, keep trusting, keep obeying from the heart. I will always obey your law forever and ever. 14, believers experience freedom through God's word. Believers experience freedom through God's word. Psalm 119:45, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Ligon Duncan writes, true freedom is being who God has made you to be and doing what God tells you to do. Unbelievers come to the law of God and the scripture and the word, and they see it as so constraining. You're so constraining. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go live out my sexual promiscuous life. Apparently, I made somebody really mad because about talking about abortion, because I got an email to the church website this week, and it was in some ways a vile email, and then I also got a message on the answering machine wanting to schedule an abortion. I praise God I made people mad about that. And I won't apologize, because it's vile and evil and godless and wicked. But I got this email of this person describing to me with detailed words about how much they love having sex. And I responded by saying, that's a gift from God. Have you read Song of Solomon? Have you read Song of Solomon? Yes, it is amazing. It's a glorious gift from God to be enjoyed with all the different parts of the body, like Song of Solomon talks about. So I hope I made them feel a little blushy by the way I responded. And then said, but God says it's only in marriage. It's so amazing. It's such a wonderful gift from God that it's only to be enjoyed in the confines of marriage between one man and one woman. And if you don't, the Bible says, the sexually immoral will not inherit the kingdom of God, and you must repent and believe the gospel. Would you repent and believe the gospel and enjoy the glorious freedom? Why do I bring that up? Because we want to experience true freedom. True freedom is being who God made us to be and doing what God tells us to do. That's where the greatest joy is. That's where the greatest sex is. Doing it the way God intended it to be done. Josh McDowell once spoke at my campus before I was there, and he was speaking on marriage, but he put flyers out all over the campus that said the greatest sex in the world. Come and learn about marriage. Because God intended that to be enjoyed in marriage only. We're not prudes. Christians aren't prudes. Read the book of Song of Solomon. Christians delight in the freedom God has given us, the way God has called us to enjoy that. And there's freedom in obeying God's word. There's more joy in obeying God's word. There's more delight and pleasure and ecstasy in doing the things the way God says to do them. And believers know that. There's freedom through God's word. 15, believers love and meditate on God's word. Believers love and meditate on God's word. Psalm 119, 47 and 48. I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You see, because we know that the greatest joy is in obedience to God's law, that God's plan is best, we love His law and commandments. We love what He says. We delight in His commandments. We delight in "you shall not commit adultery." We love that. We love "you shall not murder." We love, children, honor your father and mother. It's beautiful to honor your father and mother and obey them. We love that if we're believers. We love "you shall have no other gods before me," because we know He alone is worthy. We know we love "you shall not lie," because we love the truth, because God is a God of truth. We love "you shall not covet," because we know there's no joy and fulfillment in discontentment. We love God's law. We love the words of Jesus. We love the commands of Jesus. Spurgeon wrote on these verses, "Oh, how I love thy law." It is a note of exclamation. He loves so much that he must express his love. And in making the attempt, he perceives that it is inexpressible and therefore cries, "Oh, how I love." We not only reverence, but love the law. We obey it out of love. And even when it chides us for disobedience, we love it nonetheless. The law is God's law, and therefore it is our love. We love it for its holiness and pine to be holy, desire to be holy. We love it for its wisdom and study it to be wise. We love it for its perfection and long to be perfect. Those who know the power of the gospel perceive an infinite loveliness in the law as they see it fulfilled and embodied in Jesus Christ. It is my meditation all the day. This was both the effect of his love and the cause of it. He meditated in God's word because he loved it, and then loved it more because he had meditated in it. He could not have enough of it. So ardently did he love it. All the day was not too long for his converse with it. His main prayer, his noonday thought, his evening song were all out of holy writ. Yea, in his worldly business, he still kept his mind saturated with the law of the Lord. It is said of some men that the more you know them, the less you admire them. But the reverse is true of God's word. Familiarity with the word of God breeds affection, and affection seeks yet greater familiarity. When thy law and my meditation are all together all the day grows holy, devout, and happy, and the heart lives with God. The psalmist turned away from all else, for in the preceding verse he tells us that he had seen an end of all perfection, but he turned it in unto the law and tarried there the whole day of his life on earth, growing henceforth wiser and holier, even sick of love, as the church saith, she was sick of love towards Christ in Song of Solomon. So seemeth the prophet to be sick of love towards the word of God. Believers love the word of God. 16, believers are comforted by God's word. Believers are comforted by God's word. Verse 52, when I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Not burdensome, but comfort from God's word. Like Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because I trusted in thee. 17, believers sing God's word. We just did that. We just sang God's word. We're going to sing it again. In our closing hymn, believers sing God's word. Verse 54, your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. Verses 171 and 172, my lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Believers sing God's Word, preach God's Word, love God's Word, read God's Word, memorize God's Word, speak God's Word. 18. The delight believers have in God motivates them to obey God's Word. The delight believers have in God motivates them to obey God's Word. Verse 57, the Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. God, you are my portion. You are my everything. You are my all in all. Whom have I in heaven but you? There's nothing upon earth I desire besides you. You are my pleasure and my joy. You are my delight, and therefore, Lord, I will obey you. You see how that's so different from the person who is obeying to try to get to heaven, obeying out of some slavish fear. No, we obey. True believers obey because we treasure God. He is our joy. He is our delight. We love to obey Him because we love and delight in Him. 19, God's Word moves and motivates believers to praise God. Verse 62, at midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. Verse 164, 7 times a day, I praise you for your righteous rules. I mean, he's getting up at midnight. He's praising God that number of perfection 7 times a day because of God's Word. Sometimes I'll see a video online of someone in China or some country where we don't have access to Scripture, and they are throwing parties, shouting and dancing and crying and just having elated joy because they have a Bible. Beloved, do you take the Word of God for granted? Or does it cause you to praise God that we have His Word? 20, believers call affliction and suffering good because it causes them to learn God's Word. That's so different, right, from our natural tendency. Lord, get me out of this. I don't want to suffer this anymore. Please, God, take this away. Just like Paul, 3 times, take this thorn away. But what does the psalmist say? In verse 71, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Spurgeon said, if we would be scholars, we must be sufferers. You want to learn the Word of God. You want to learn it, not just in a head knowledge way, but to really know it. And experience it and understand it. Like Job, remember Job? Job was blameless. There was no one like him on earth. That's why God pointed Satan to Job. That's amazing. It was God who brought up Job. Have you considered my servant Job? And then God allows Satan to wreak havoc on Job's life, killing all of his children, taking away all of his wealth and all of his stuff, giving him sores of his body such that he wished he was dead. And Job struggles throughout the book to trust God. But he says things like, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But Job struggled, and God had to show up in the end and take Job to the woodshed. Were you there, Job, when I made the earth? Were you there when I created this animal and that animal? Were you there when I did this and did that? Have you been here for all eternity, Job? And Job puts his hand on his mouth and repents in dust and ashes and says, I've heard about you, but now I see you. This is what believers want, even if it means suffering. Lord, I don't just want to hear about you. I want to see you. Lord, do whatever you have to do in my life that I might be as holy as I might be. I remember one prayer of, I think it was Jim Elliot. Oh God, do what you have to do in my life. Put me to suffering. Put me to pain. Put me to loss. Whatever you have to do to make me holy, to know you, to see you. God, do it. This is what believers long for. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. 21, believers seek God's word. We seek God's word. Verse 45, I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. Verse 94, I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. Believers pursue God's word. That's what I'm encouraging you to do in 2021, is pursue God's word. 22, God's word makes believers wise. God's word makes believers wise. Verses 98 through 100, your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. Do you want to be wise? Do you want to have knowledge? Do you want to know more than the aged? Normally we think of the older people as having experience and knowledge. And the psalmist says here, I know more than those who are older and have more experience than me because I know God's word. Spurgeon writes on these verses, disciples of Christ who sit at his feet are often better skilled in divine things than doctors of divinity. For thy testimonies are my meditation. This is the best mode of acquiring understanding. We may hear the wisest teachers and remain fools, but if we meditate upon the sacred word, we must become wise. There is more wisdom in the testimonies of the Lord than in all the teachings of men. If they were all gathered into one vast library, the one book outweighs all the rest. Friend, I encourage people to read books other than the Bible only because these books help you understand the Bible. But if you can't read other books and you can only pick one, then just read the Bible. Read the Bible. Be like the apostles in Acts 4:13. It was said of them, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They're uneducated. They're common. But they have a boldness and a fervor and a power in speaking the Word of God. Why? Because they've been with Jesus. Beloved, be with Jesus. Spend much time with Jesus in His Word and in prayer. 23, God's Word motivates believers to turn from evil. God's Word motivates believers to turn from evil. Verse 101, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your Word. D.A. Carson told a story in his sermon on Psalm 119 about a pastor of God's word, a pastor in God's church who was committing adultery against his wife. And what caused him to see his sin is that even though he was having an affair, he kept reading God's word. And God's word convicted him of his sin. And he confessed his sin and resigned as a pastor, which he ought to do. God's word did it. John Piper's mom, when she gave him a book, she gave him a Bible in his teenage years, wrote in the Bible, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. God's word motivates believers to turn from evil, to repent of sin. All the more reason why we should be meditating and reading it regularly. 24, God's word shows believers how to live. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I love that song we sang, I believe, last week. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is how we should live. This is how we're to live. This is the best life that we can live is by following God's word. And obeying. It's a light and a lamp to show us how to live. 25, believers remember God's word even in the face of death. Believers remember God's word even in the face of death. Verse 109, I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. One pastor who preached on this psalm believes that the author is Daniel. in the exile. Some believe it's David is the author of this psalm, but he had several reasons for why he believed it might be Daniel. And we know Daniel held his hand in his life continually, meaning he was about to die several times, right? Lion's den, right? His friends, even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The people of that time held their lives in their hands. And where did they go? They went to God's word. They remembered God's word. They trusted in God's word. Is that where your mind naturally goes in times of intense fear and terror? I have had moments in my life like that, and sadly, my mind didn't go there. My mind didn't go to pray. And I want to be cultivated, my heart and mind to be cultivated more and more, that's where I run first. To pray. To seek the Lord in His Word. Spurgeon said it is a special proof of grace when nothing can drive truth out of our thoughts or holiness out of our lives. If we remember the law, even when death stares us in the face, we may be well assured that the Lord is remembering us. Believers, remember God's word even in the face of death. 26, God's word is the heritage and joy of believers' hearts. Verse 111, your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. Your word is my inheritance, O God. My heritage is your word. Calvin writes, the law of God was more precious to him than all the pleasures, riches, and possessions of the world. God's word is all to us. God is all to us, and therefore His word is all in all to us. 27, believers love God's word because it promises judgment and justice. Believers love God's word because it promises judgment and justice. Verse 119, all the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. God is going to judge. Friend, if you're here this morning and something unbelievably wicked and evil has happened to you, for some of us this is hard to understand because we've had pretty much a scot-free, easy life. But there are people who have had unbelievable wickednesses and wicked things, vile, unspeakable things done to them in their bodies. Take comfort, my friend. God is going to bring justice for every evil. Perfect, righteous, holy, everlasting justice. Therefore, I love His word, the psalmist says. 28, believers tremble at God's word. Verse 120, my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I'm afraid of your judgments. Isaiah 66:2 says the same thing. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word.
Yes, Lord.
True believers tremble at God's word. They tremble at the thought of hell. They tremble at the thought of doing something that would displease God. They tremble at God's word. And that in no way needs to contradict our assurance of God's everlasting love. That they're put together in Scripture. Jesus told His disciples, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul in hell. Yes, disciples, fear him. Believers tremble at God's word, at God's judgments, at God's power, at God's justice. We tremble and humble ourselves. God, help me obey. Keep me from sin. Help me follow you. Thank you for your mercy and grace and forgiveness. 29, believers are sad when others don't obey God's word. Believers are sad when others don't obey God's word. Verse 136, my eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. It's not just weeping over my own sin, but when we look out in the world today and see the rebellion and the hatred and the vile, evil things that people celebrate, believers weep. How can you celebrate that? How? When your God abominates it. How? How can you know Jesus and celebrate that? We weep when we see people celebrate what God hates. Believers are sad when others don't obey God's word. Their eyes shed streams of tears. 30, believers know and believe everything in God's word is righteous, good, and true. Believers know and believe that everything in God's word is righteous, good, and true. Verses 137 and 138, righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. Verse 151, but you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Verse 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Believers believe this is true and righteous and good. Every word, just like Jesus said, the scripture cannot be broken. Not one jot or tittle will pass away until all is fulfilled. 31, believers make pursuing God and His word a priority in their lives. Believers make pursuing God and His word a priority in their lives. Verse 148, my eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise. He gets up before the watches of the night. We've already seen him get up at midnight. We've seen him praise God for his word 7 times a day. Believers make God's word a priority. 32, believers stand in awe of God's word. They stand in awe and wonder. You think about what the world stands in awe and wonder of, but believers stand in awe of God's word. Verse 161, princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. One description of the Bible that often takes my breath away is the description found in the Gideon Bibles. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here too, heaven is opened and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mind of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Believers stand in awe of God's word. 33, believers find peace and stability in God's word. Verse 165, great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Great peace. You want peace. Come to God in His word. 34, believers obey God's word and they obey from the heart. Verses 166 through 168, I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Believers are not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word, and we do it from the heart. Did you notice that? My soul keeps your testimonies. Calvin wrote about this verse. By the word soul, he expresses still more forcibly than before that he had the doctrine of the law enclosed within the deepest recesses of his heart. Believers are born again. They have God's law written on their heart. They're not stony ground hearers. Many people hear the word of God, it falls on stony ground, and they have joy for a little bit. You see that. People hear the word of God. They start reading. They start coming to church. They get baptized. They become a member. And they follow God for a year, 2, 5 years, 10 years. But then they fall away. Stony ground hearers. They're not willing to be persecuted for the word of God. We might see now. We might see who's going to follow Jesus no matter what. When certain laws start changing. The true believer says, I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to follow Jesus. True believers say, I don't care what you're going to do to me. I don't care if you take away our building, take away our tax relief, take away my money. I don't care if I die. I'm following Jesus. That's what true believers do. That's basic Christianity. You know that's basic Christianity, right? Jesus said, if you would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, die, and follow me. That's basic Christianity. That's not PhD Christianity. That's elementary school Christianity. I'm willing to die for you, Jesus. No matter what. We obey God's word from the heart. 35, believers are helped through God's word. Believers are helped through God's word. Verse 175, let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. We are helped by God's word. We get help from God's word. And finally, number 36, God and his word are worthy for believers to suffer and to even die for. Sort of already spoke about that, didn't I? Verse 69, the insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Verse 87, they have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. The psalmist seems to indicate that because of his faithfulness, because of his commitment to follow God's word, his life is in danger. His life is in danger. They smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I'm still going to keep your precepts. They've almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. God and his word are worthy for us as believers to suffer and to even die for. Who is the greatest man who ever lived and who died for the sake of God and his word? The Lord Jesus Christ. The word made flesh. John 1, 1 through 3 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Friend, to get this message, to have this kind of delight and commitment to God's Word, you've got to know Him. You've got to know Him. And maybe you're here this morning in person or online, and what I'm speaking, the kind of feelings and desires and longings for God and His Word are absolutely foreign to you. It's because you're not born again. It's possibly because you're not born again. And God's word teaches that all of us outside of Christ have spurned His word. We've not loved God. We've not loved His word. We've been in love with ourselves and our sin. We've broken His commandments. We feel the exact opposite about how the psalmist feels about God's word, and we reject God and His word. And because of that, we deserve hell. We deserve God's righteous judgment in hell forever. But praise God, He loves sinners who have belittled and disobeyed His word, who have not felt the way the psalmist feels about God's Word. And he loves sinners so much that he sent the Word made flesh into the world to live a perfect life, to live out these laws and commandments perfectly, the only one who's ever done it. Buddha didn't do it. Muhammad didn't do it. Confucius didn't do it. No religious leader has ever done it. No man or woman has ever done it. Mary didn't do it. Only Jesus. Perfect and holy and sinless. And then the Word made flesh, suffered on that cross, took the wrath and curse and judgment of God upon Himself that we deserve, and died and was buried. But on the third day, He rose from the dead. He conquered sin, death, and hell, so that anyone, no matter how bad you've been, what evil you've done, if you turn from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You can't earn this. You can't work for it. You can't conjure and work up enough delight in God's Word to make Him love you and forgive you. You can simply receive by faith alone in Christ alone the gospel of Jesus. Believe on Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And when you trust in Him, He will write this law upon your heart and put His Spirit in you so that you will begin to delight in the law of God as the psalmist does and obey from the heart. Would you do that today, friend? If you're here and you've not believed in Christ, I would love to talk to you about the gospel afterwards. I'll be in the back. There are other believers you can speak to. Please believe on Him today. And if you're here this morning, you're a believer, which I trust is most of you, realize we're all growing in this, right? We don't feel this way every day all the time. I don't have these kinds of intense feelings and emotions for God and His Word all the time. We're all growing in this. We're being sanctified. And so be encouraged to pursue God that you might regard Him and His Word like the psalmist in Psalm 119. And pray for me as your pastor. Pray for us as elders that we especially would continue to look to God and His Word and be faithful and grow in these attributes of love and devotion to God and His Word. Christ's passion was God's holy Word. To turn from it would be absurd. He loved it, did it, spoke it, heard, and was the Word in flesh conferred. Yet though He did all undeterred, God's wrath on Him fell fully stirred. He died, then stomped on death the third. By faith, His righteousness transferred. In Him your sin has been interred, so now like Him you love the Word and trust and do it as preferred. Father, we praise You for our great Savior. We praise You that He is the Word of flesh conferred, that He did all of the law undeterred, that Your wrath toward Him was fully stirred and He took that upon Himself, Lord, that He stomped on death and raised up on the third day. God, we thank You that because of what He did, we have the righteousness of Christ counted as ours. We thank You, Lord, that You have written this law upon our hearts. We thank You, God, as believers, we have the Spirit within us. We thank You, O God, that You are at work in all of us to give us these kinds of feelings and thoughts and desires and commitments to the Word of God. And we pray that we would grow in that, Father, that we as believers would grow in our devotion and commitment and loyalty and love and delight in You and Your Word. And Father, we pray for those who may be listening today who don't know You. We pray You would breathe new life into them through Your Word and cause them to be born again. And we ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.